comments here before I begin. I was able to not only last Sunday night take the Christmas program in here, but also to listen to it on the radio. And I got to hear some other parts of different programs, but this was fantastic. And I want to thank everyone involved in that. Did a great job. And it was, I thought it was done with excellence. And it really ministered to my heart. Also, when the sermon's done, I'm going to remain up here this morning. I'm under the weather, and I would love to shake you guys' hands, but I don't want to give you what I have. So, and I doubt you want to have what I have, right? Probably both agree on that. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 is where we'll be this morning, and I want to read a scripture out of Revelation as well, but we'll begin there. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, then I want to read from Revelation, the first chapter, in verse 6, and then we'll ask God to help us with these thoughts. 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And then if you would turn to Revelation, the first chapter, I want you just to note verse 6 there. Revelation 1, 6. And he has made us to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for having an opportunity to join in raising our voices in praise and worship to you this morning. Thank you for the effort of those who put a lot of time into being able to lead this congregation in worship. And Father, as a congregation, we have needs that are varied and are wide. Health issues, there are heart issues, and there are those that are tired and discouraged, and those that need to be encouraged for the journey. We pray that you would minister to each of those. There are those outside these walls that are home sick and hurting, and I pray for them. I pray for those that minister to them. I pray, Father, as we gather around your throne right now and hear from you, from your word, that you would minister strongly to our hearts. Thank you for those that have come in today, some from a long ways away, and they're here with families, and they're enjoying that family time. I pray your blessing on each of those. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to consider something this morning. I want you to consider full-time ministry. I'm not talking about being a missionary on a foreign field or a traveling evangelist. I'm not talking about considering training to become a pastor. Now, if that's where God is leading you, I want to say, go for it. But I'm not referring to that. I'm talking about a ministry to God right where you are, right where God has planted you. Do you know that the greatest majority of full-time ministers for Jesus Christ are not pastors? They're not evangelists. They're not missionaries, even though they often get the headlines. Do you know who they are? They are people, individuals just like you. People who are being educated or work a job or see their vacation as an opportunity to influence others for Jesus Christ. People who believe that God has given them an opening right where they are, and they take advantage of that to love others, to be a blessing to their employers or their employees for the name and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are the people in the body of Christ that when they're exercising their spiritual gifts are bringing just as much glory to God as a missionary proclaiming Christ to a lost tribe in the jungles of Africa. They're often overlooked within the body, but their faithfulness in ministering for Christ is what allows the body of Christ to continue to move forward. That is true of us. We have individuals all over the place doing many, many different works for the Lord. And they see themselves as individuals who God has saved, redeemed, individuals who God has given an opportunity right where they're at. They're taking advantage of that. I want to challenge you to that today. If you're one of them that are doing that, I want to challenge you to be faithful to that. If you're not, I want to challenge you really to make a difference for Christ right where He has planted you. This scripture says in verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I'm back in 1 Peter 2:9. And that's what we're to do. We're to proclaim His excellencies in our area of influence. When someone comes to faith in Christ, they are a new creation. New creation of His grace. He saves them to serve. God has saved us through faith in Christ. And we are individuals not to be left just as someone on the bench, but as instruments in His hand to make known His glory. What does this look like? Well, I could go a long ways here. But it looks something like this. It looks like a grandmother taking in a great-grandchild as her own to raise this one for the glory of God. It looks like business owners exercising their stewardship in business with an eye toward making a difference with Christ with their employees and their community. It looks like students in high school and college who say to another student, come along, I want you to join a Bible study with me. Or perhaps it is this, and this just happened recently. It was a great blessing to me, and I have to tell you, I'm often encouraged by our young people. We had a young individual in high school who recently took a candy cane, passed it out with a story about Christ, handed it to individuals with an opportunity to go to a website to hear more about Christ. That's someone taking their faith to the area of influence that they have been allowed. It looks like grandpas, grandmas, aunts, uncles, singles, marrieds, looking at their opportunities and saying, God has planted me here. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to make a difference. They're followers of Christ who are willing to put themselves in the hands of the Creator, to live for Him, to speak well of His name. There are individuals exercising their spiritual gifts, rubbing shoulders with others. There are individuals that people in their retirement that see this juncture of life as more than just time to sit back on the couch and tip up a cup of coffee and put their feet on a stool, oblivious to the chances and opportunities they have to make a difference for Jesus Christ. They are those kind of people. I've left a whole lot of you out that do wonderful things for Christ. My purpose isn't to mention each one of you. My purpose is to say to you and I that there are people doing this. You and I need to be part of this. Now, if we're going to proclaim Christ with our lives, I think that we need to realize, first of all, who we are. Back to the text there in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, you... Put your name there, by the way. If you know Christ, put your name there. You, Brad. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You are a chosen race. The Apostle Peter is drawing on some pictures here in the Old Testament from the nation of Israel. He's not saying that the church is the nation Israel or inherits all those promises. He's not saying that. He's using an analogy here. It's here that God chose Israel, not because they deserved it, or because they were above or better than everyone else. He chose them because He loved them. Every believer who comes to faith in Christ can know this is true of them as well. They've been chosen by God, not because they have any merit of their own, because they're better than the next guy down the street, or more deserving of His grace. By the way, this is one of the most pride-crushing truths in the Scripture, that God reached down and saved us, and that it is all of Him. We brought nothing to the table, glory to God, but He chose us. Special, He reached down and said, that one is mine. This is who we are. And if you're going to go on to proclaim the excellencies of Christ, we need to know who we are. We're chosen. We're a chosen race. We also are a royal priesthood. Now, this text is what is referred to as the priesthood of the believer. In Exodus 19:6, God through Moses told Israel, "You shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." In the Old Testament, God's people had a privilege, and in the New Testament, God's people are. In the Old Testament, God's people had the privilege of being a priesthood. In the New Testament, God's people are a priesthood. Each believer has a privilege of coming into the very presence of God, to the throne of grace. It's a great privilege to be a believer and then to be used. And that's what God is saying to us. Just like that Old Testament, what occurred back there where if you were an Old Testament priest, you were of the tribe of Levi. You had that Levitical priesthood and that privilege to serve. It's beyond that, though, for us. It's different. We have the daily privilege where that priest could only go in at certain times. We have a daily privilege to serve God and others as a priest of the Most High God. That's who we are. Do you realize that? You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. Not only that, the scripture says you're a holy nation. Exodus 19:6 said, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." Turn back just a little ways here. You're in 1 Peter. Turn back to the first chapter and look at verse 15. "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" God's desire for the nation of Israel was that they be set apart, that they be holy, that they be set apart from the surrounding nations to God. He didn't want them to serve their gods. He didn't want them to do the things that they were doing. And you know the rest of the story, right? They became what all those pagan nations were around them. Had a dramatic effect on them. Those people groups influenced God's people. God's people took their eyes off of Him, did not live separated for His glory. They didn't remain holy to God. Holy means to be set apart. And that's who we are. Whether you realize it or not, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. If God has saved you, you are set apart for Him. If we're going to see our lives as full-time ministers for His name, we need to realize something else here. And it's in the 9th verse as well. It says here, not only are you a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, you are a people for God's own possession. This is whose we are. We are God's personal possession. We belong to Him. He owns us. He bought us. That's what this term means in the original. Possession means to purchase, to acquire for a price. If you would note just for a minute, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, it says this, "You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." And we have been purchased. Believers belong to God because He purchased us. Now, the price that He paid was extravagant. There is love that cannot be fully comprehended or expounded upon. Every time I speak of God's love, I'm aware of that. I really can't get my mind around all of that. That God, holy God, would send His Son, Jesus Christ, as a demonstration of His great love to me. And Jesus came on a mission to rescue sinners, one of whom I was. And the scripture says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can't quite comprehend the greatness of that love. But that's what God did for me and for you. He purchased us. There's a response, though, to that love that is expected. And that is ours to give to God. If we really get what God has done for us, if we understand where we were in darkness and what He has done, called us out of darkness, how can we not love Him? We are His. It is true that every believer belongs to the Creator of the world and has a personal relationship with Him because we were purchased with a great price, the blood of His Son. So, if He owns us, He gets to call the shots. He says to you and I bought you, I love you beyond description. Go and tell the world about me. your world. This is so important this morning, what I'm trying to say to you. If I would ask any of you, was someone involved in your life to help bring you to Christ? What would your response be? Was there someone back there? Was there someone, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker, maybe a mom, maybe a grandpa, maybe a dad? God had placed those people in your life, and they acted faithfully and saying to you and I, listen, there's a God who loves you, and you need a relationship with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. I know the influence in my life was beyond was by a majority, I would say, or many people. Not specifically a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. Folks, what I'm trying to say is we have one unique opportunity here. All of you are where you're at in life. And God places someone in your sphere of influence. And He wants you to proclaim the excellencies of Christ. He wants you to speak well of Him, well of the body of Christ. He wants you to relate to them what He has done for you. That's really hard to argue against, you know. Telling someone how good God is, how He's blessed you, how He's touched you, how He's touched your family. That's something that those who may oppose Christianity really can't argue against. By the way, it's not about winning an argument, is it? It's about sharing what God has done. I have to tell you, one of the best ways I've heard this described over the years, and it's really what I want to get to you at the end of this message, thinking about this coming year, is I was at a missions conference one time, and a missionary got up, and I was encouraged to and curious as to what he would say. He talked about missions and the Great Commission, all that. I remember that. This is the one thing he said to me, and it stuck with me. One at a time. As fast as you can. One at a time. That's just how God works. I thought, that's so good. That's just, yeah, that's it. One. Just give me one. One at a time as fast as you can. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe it's a grandchild. Someone in your class at school, in college. Someone who you are working a job with. Maybe it's your employer. Maybe a fellow employee. Well, we need to know who we are, we need to know whose we are, and we need to know what we are. Look further in this text with me. Now, it talks about verse 9, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, and so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What a picture, huh? Out of darkness into the light. You once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. What we are priests. And I talked about this a little bit earlier. Look at verse 5 in the second chapter as well. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are priests, so it's our privilege to serve God, to serve the King. And we serve the King of Kings. We are, as stated in Revelation 1:6, a kingdom made up of people, really made up of fellow brothers and sisters, fellow priests to God. Colossians 1:13 and 14 says this, He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's called us out of darkness. Do you remember this, folks? When you came to know Christ, it was out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, into the light. What a picture. Darkness, where we were in line to incur the wrath of God. We had no hope. We had no life, no joy, no peace. And God, in His great mercy, reaches down and says, it's a chosen priesthood, a holy nation. These are My people. He calls us out. He gloriously saves us. And now it's ministry. He gives us purpose. He gives us help. He empowers us to do what He's called us to do. And it says there in verse 5, as a priesthood, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a couple of pictures here in the New Testament of this. Romans 12 would be one. As a matter of fact, it's Romans 12:1. In light of the mercy of God, in light of His greatness of His reaching down and saving us, the apostle comes to this 12th chapter and he just gets on with the practical things of life. And he says in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, here it is, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. A priest presented sacrifices. He ministered to the people and to God. You and I are told, here's one spiritual sacrifice you're to give, and that is your body. Do you realize everything we do in these bodies? Everything we do on this side of heaven, we do in these bodies. If we're praying, if we're in spiritual warfare, it's still with our bodies, with our minds. And God says, listen, I want you to understand something. This is your spiritual service of worship that you present to me, your bodies. When we get in trouble, it's when we sin, it's with these bodies. When we do well, it's with these bodies. When we glorify God, it's with these bodies. And the apostle says, listen, you need to understand something. God wants your body. He wants your life. He wants your body. Offer that to Him as a spiritual sacrifice. How pertinent is that in this society today? I give you one other one here, and it's one we engage in quite often on a Sunday night, hopefully through our week as well. It's Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. A beautiful picture here as well. Through Him, that's through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. You know, this needs to be a steady, a steady outpouring of glory to God, that we speak well to His name. We give Him praise. What has He done in this, yesterday, in this past week, in my life? We give Him praise. Did you see His faithfulness? We give Him praise. We need to also make sure we're letting others understand and know that. But we're priests. We are to serve. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Not only that, we're proclaimers. Back to the text in 1 Peter. We are to proclaim the excellencies of Him. That's what we're to do. That's what we are. We are proclaimers. Another word for proclaim is just what I'm doing right now. It's preach. Now, I don't believe the apostle saying is every one of you need to be a preacher. He's not saying that. But he's saying we need to proclaim. Remember when the angel Gabriel went to the shepherds, he says, I got good news, a great joy for everyone. Today there's a Savior born for you. Remember what those shepherds did? They went and proclaimed. We get into conversations with individuals, learn about them, and tell just like the shepherds did that first Christmas morning. They went back glorifying and praising God for all that He had heard and seen, just had been told them. We get so caught up, I think, at times with giving the gospel message that we forget sometimes it doesn't hurt to tell about all that God has done for us and just how good He has been. You know something? That's, again, really hard to argue against, and it speaks into people's hearts. It's a great door, then, to open to give you an opportunity with the gospel. There's one other thing here that I want you to see what we are. We are priests. We are proclaimers. We're also products of grace. Do you see it there? We are a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're called out. By God's grace, we've been called out of darkness. Now, God worked and we were able to see our great need. We responded to the gospel. We've been called out, friend. That is an act of God's grace that is absolutely marvelous. None of us deserve that. Not any of you, not myself. Had nothing to offer to God. We're just sinners. And God allowed us to see our great need. It's out of darkness and we're called into His marvelous light. All of grace. Undeserved, unmerited favor lavished upon us as a gift by our great God. What a deal. Peter reminds his readers just what it is that God has done through His Son for them. As he's urging them on to be proclaimers, I think he just wants to stop for a minute and say, hey, don't forget. It's out of darkness that God called you. You had no hope. You had no future. And it's into His marvelous light where you have so much. We are, by His grace, privileged. What a spiritual privilege we have before us today. We've been marvelously purchased from sin into His grace. As I was thinking over this, and before I closed, I wanted to bring some lyrics from a song that was pretty popular a few years ago. It's by Ray Bolts. And it says this, I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. You turned and you saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. Then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day, when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. When I think about this, I think, what will await you in heaven? You who know Him. Are you storing up treasures that cannot be corrupted or lost? Are you laboring for the Lord? Will someone meet you someday and say, I got to say this. Glory to God. Praise God. I got to say this. You made a difference in my life because you proclaimed the excellencies of Christ, because you lived out this message that God has given to us. Another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry? You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave. That's why I'm here today. We really don't know what 2014 holds. We do know who holds 2014. 2013's all but gone, right? I hope we've served well. I don't know. The results are God's alone, right? I mean, He's the one that's a judge of all things. But I want to encourage you in this coming year, no matter where you are or what you're doing or what it looks like, to make a difference for Christ right there. Maybe our prayer could be this, Father, let the love that you've extended to me and the freedom that I now enjoy with you motivate me to see my life as I should, one that's been purchased and needs to be lived as your minister for the moment in time right where you have placed me. Could we ask, friend, that God would motivate and empower us with one in the coming year? That we can proclaim His excellencies too. I believe if we would ask God for one, whether we would lead that one to Christ, or we would be a part of them coming perhaps back into fellowship, or be a part of them then meeting someone else and coming into a relationship with God. But if He would give us one, if we could ask for one, I believe He would give us one. Do you believe that? Are you guys ready? Let's pray. Loving Father, I do ask that you would continue to work powerfully in this group of believers. That you would continue to empower them and motivate them and lead them by your Spirit to those who you desperately love who need you, who need to see a witness of what it is to know Jesus Christ and what that looks like lived out in a life, in a family, in a marriage, in a relationship. And I pray for each one of these folks. I know you've placed people in their lives that need to hear that you are a good God who loves them to the extent that He would give His Son for their soul. And Father, when we think about this, I suppose for all of us, there's some hesitancy. We get thinking, well, we don't know all the right verses. We don't always remember things as we should. Father, the whole thing is, we understand this. None of us are capable of doing this in our own strength and power. But where you lead, you provide. And when you call, you're faithful. I pray none of us will say, well, you know, that's just for the pastor. That's just for a Sunday school teacher. That's for someone else. Help us to be that one. Because we are a royal priesthood, a chosen people. We are your possession. Use us in this coming year. Father, take each one of these, powerfully motivate, allow them to proclaim your excellencies in this coming year until Christ comes. Amen.